Good morning. Welcome here this pleasant Sunday morning. We are going to start with hymn number 9, Come Away from Rush and Hurry. If you could please stand.
Good morning. Welcome to this place, our sanctuary where we meet God and each other. We acknowledge that we're gathering on the traditional territory of Indigenous and Métis people. With this acknowledgement also comes our search to live into right relationships with all neighbors and all creation. We ask for God's help to do this as we journey together. I just want to highlight a few things for Life of the Congregation from the bulletin. I'll let you read the details, but a note that they are looking for more volunteers for the Children's Church program. So if this is something you're interested in or think you might like to try and find out if you're interested in, please read the details and be in touch. Also on September 10th, there'll be the blessing of the backpacks, which this year will also include some collection of school supplies. So you can read that for what you might be able to bring. And the Fall Fellowship Fun is happening again this year. That will be on September 10th. But if you are interested in presenting some music, then they would like to know that by August 20th. Join me now in the call to worship. God makes room for us here. In this broad space of worship,
room for our questions and room for our confidence.
Room for our joy and room for our grief.
Room for our fear and room for our generosity.
Room for ourselves and room for each other.
Let us receive God's blessing on this spacious place.
Let us worship together in faith.
We are going to be doing two songs in a row, starting with the Peace Prayer, which is a worship song not in the hymnal, and then switching to Your Love is Amazing, which is 96. If you could please stand again, if you're able.
Make me an instrument.
For the breath prayer, I'd invite you to sit in a position that's comfortable to you and take a few deep breaths. Gently close your eyes and pay attention to your breathing. Choose a name for God that you are comfortable using. It could be God, Father, Mother, Jesus, Spirit. Now imagine that God is calling you by name, gently asking, "What do you want?" With a few words, respond from your heart. Now combine your name for God with your response to, "What do you want?" And for the next minute, as you breathe in, say God's name. As you breathe out, state your answer to the question. Let's pray. Amen.
I'm going to be singing Peace to You, 168 in the hymnal. It's fairly new, so play it through. I think Lori's going to play it through once for us.
Peace that fills the cosmos, peace that serves. And I would like to invite some children forward for a puppet show. Finn is back for at least 1 week in summer, and after we have a song to sing together. So come forward, children, please. Oh, under the pews we're crawling now. Great. Those are my own children, so that's okay. Yeah, you can sit right here. I just had to ditch my sandals.
Kids, I hope your summer has been a good one so far, filled with lots of camping and swimming and bike rides and ice cream. Let's call Finn out to see how his summer's been. Ready? One, two, three. Finn the Dragon!
Oh, hi, kids. Hi, Penny. Hello, everyone out there.
Hi, Finn. How's your summer been? Have you had lots of ice cream?
No.
No, why not?
Well, see, I was at the splash park the other day, and the ice cream truck came by.
And?
And I screamed for ice cream.
And?
But I wasn't the only dragon screaming for ice cream. All the little dragons were screaming for ice cream.
And?
Amidst all the screaming for ice cream, I had an extreme dream about a supreme scheme to ensure I'd be king of an esteemed regime, or I'd be part of a steam-themed team that could redeem memes for ice cream.
What?
But by the end, there was two of us in line, and the ice cream truck person said there was only one ice cream treat left. So I let the other dragon have it, and I walked away, and now I have no ice cream.
That sounds like quite the rocky road.
Yeah, I just didn't want to fight over the last ice cream.
Hey, that reminds me of the Bible story today.
It does?
Yep. There was a guy named Isaac, and he had to go dig a new water well for all his sheep and goats. But after he dug one, some people chased him away.
No way.
Then Isaac moved on again, and he dug a second well. But he got chased away again.
Well, that's not very nice.
It's not, but Isaac didn't want to fight with anybody. He didn't want to scream at anybody.
Kind of like me not screaming at somebody else for getting the last ice cream?
Exactly. But the story isn't over yet. Isaac dug a third well, and this time nobody chased him away. There was enough water for everybody to share.
Enough water for everybody to share? That sounds like a much better ending than my story, which ends up with me not having any ice cream.
Hey, Finn, After church, do you want to come over and play? We can go to the splash park, and there's lots of ice cream in my freezer.
Oh, I'd love to, Penny. See, we don't have a lot of ice cream in my own house. It tends to melt quite fast, you know, with the dragon fire breath and all. But I am so thankful that you are sharing your ice cream. So thankful that I think I could scream!
We all scream for ice cream, don't we, Finn? We all scream for ice cream.
We really do. Okay, kids, we're going to sing a song now, so you can go turn to the stage and listen to Shara.
Bye!
You guys are probably going to want to stand up. I think some of you might even know a dance to this. It's number 798 in the hymn book.
Do they want to come stand up here?
You can come stand up here and show us.
That'd be really cool.
What you all know. And I think everyone who can should stand for this one.
You're going to need to stand.
Yeah, in order to get the words out, you're going to need to stand.
Share the holy image of God, yet choose who we will be, to walk a path that leads us to hate or live in harmony. Rusty sword is the way of the world whose pain can only increase. We fight for power and kill for fear, our status will decrease. Jesus shows us another way, blessed are the least. Sword into a plowshare turn, Christ has given us peace.
Genesis 26, 12 to 31. Isaac planted crops in that land and took a huge harvest. God blessed him. The man got richer and richer by the day until he was very wealthy. He accumulated flocks and herds and many, many servants, so much so that the Philistines began to envy him. They got back at him by throwing dirt and debris into all the wells that his father's servants had dug back in the days of his father Abram, clogging up all the wells. Finally, King Abimelech told Isaac, "Leave. You've become far too big for us." So Isaac left. He camped in the valley of Gerar and settled down there. Isaac dug again the wells which were dug in the days of his father Abraham, but had been clogged up by the Philistines after Abraham's death. And he renamed them, using the original names his father had given them. One day, as Isaac's servants were digging in the valley, they came on a well of spring water. The shepherds of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's shepherds, claiming, "This water is ours." So Isaac named the well Contention because they quarreled over it. They dug another well, and there was a difference over that one also, so he named it Enmity. He went on from there and dug yet another well, but there was no fighting over this one, so he named it Broad Place, saying, "Now God has given us plenty of space to spread out into the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That very night, God appeared to him and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Don't fear a thing because I'm with you. I'll bless you and make your children flourish because of Abram, my servant." Isaac built an altar there and prayed, calling on God by name. He pitched his tent, and his servants started digging another well. Then Abimelech came to him with his advisors. Isaac asked them, "Why did you come to me? You hate me. You threw me out of your country." They said, "We've realized that God is on your side. We'd like to make a deal between us, a covenant that we maintain friendly relations. We haven't bothered you in the past. We treated you kindly and let you leave us in peace. So God's blessing be with you." Isaac laid out a feast, and they ate and drank together. Early in the morning, they exchanged oaths. Then Isaac said goodbye, and they parted as friends.
A little bit sweaty now. Before I start, after church, before you get into your cars or bikes or walk away, spend 45 seconds at the pollinator garden out over there and count the bumblebees. It is a thing of beauty. Our theme this summer is seeking peace with scripture passages assigned for each Sunday. So we started in June with the theme peace with God, and then we moved into peace within, and Heidi and Mel and Tamara got to preach nice sermons with nice texts from Jesus and Philippians, some of my own personal favorite texts in the Bible. And then I come back from vacation in Pangasi, and we move to peace with others, and I get stuck with these long, boring stories from Genesis. Last week was a story about Jacob and Esau, and this week it's about a guy named Isaac and a Philistine king named Abimelech. Isaac and Abimelech. Let's go. But first, to start, whenever we preach from Genesis, we must remember that in order to take the stories in Genesis seriously, we often cannot read them literally. Because Genesis is an ancient story written for an ancient people, written down as they try to make sense of who they were and who God is, and they wrote this all down while living as prisoners in a foreign land. And remember how last week Jacob wrestled with God, and was given a new name, Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. And Jacob was also given a limp, meaning that his life will never be the same, and how Jacob can be seen as the stand-in for all of Israel, since his name is literally Israel. This week's story is about Jacob's father, Isaac, which can also be understood as Isaac is Israel's father. And in today's world, we might use language like founding father of our countries. And once again, Darth Sidious Lego there is for all the kids. This week's story, a founding father. So the story is about Isaac, but it's also really about the nation of Israel, and thus partly connected to the Jewish religion. And what does Isaac have in Genesis 26? He has awkward run-ins with the neighbors, specifically the Philistines. Grr, those Philistines. Can any kids here say, "Grr, those Philistines"? There we go. There we go. There's a base-level child over here somewhere. The Israelites and the Philistines seems to be having problems throughout the entire Old Testament. However, wait for it. This one blew my mind. Modern-day archaeology has found that the Philistines actually only arrived in that place where Isaac should have been, only arrived there thousands of years later than this story takes place. The Philistines showing up in this story of Isaac would be like the Canadian army with machine guns showing up to fight in some Viking raid 1,000 years ago. This is one of those moments where when you read this, you're like, huh? But I am just so excited that in order to take the story seriously, we don't have to take it literally, because it's impossible. Historically, this story did not happen. It could not have. There were no Philistines there. And there's certainly not a king named Abimelech hanging out with Isaac. I know what I just said there. It's a big deal. So, but why was this story written down? Because when it was written down, the Israelites were enemies with the Philistines. And so the Israelites wrote the Philistines into their history stories to make sense of the present. Think of it like this. Campfire. Daddy, why do the Philistines hate us? Probably they should be asking, why do we hate them? But that's not how we, that's not our first posture. Why do the Philistines hate us? Gather around, dear child, and let me tell you a story about something that happened a long, long time ago about our people and theirs. And then they changed the details of the past to explain the present. Do we still do this today? Oh yeah, baby, we do. We retell stories all the time. Let's start with World War II. Don't click that slide yet. Just hang on. Think in your head, why did Canada go fight World War II? Cool. You got an answer? Oh, well, I'm not going to, just in your head. It's okay, Paxton. I appreciate the enthusiasm. Did Canada want to fight in World War II? Right? So the story we tell now, sometimes, some of us, is that Canada, the good guys, and these are like my own grandparents and great-grandparents, they went to war with the Nazis, the bad guys, to stop the Holocaust and save Jewish lives. Us good, Hitler bad, stop him, them. It's a nice story, but it's not entirely true. Canada didn't want to go to war. And actually, 1939, okay, next slide. 1939, an entire ship full of Jewish refugees tried landing in Canada, and we turned them away. We said, we don't want you here. Right? So this narrative of Canada going to stop Jewish Holocaust is not true. We didn't care about Jewish lives. That ship ended up going back to Europe, and at least half of those passengers died in concentration camps. Canada just went to war because England was at war. But we're the good guys because Hitler was a bad dude killing Jews who had to be stopped. That's the story that we often tell nowadays. And why did we change the story? Because we are trying to explain the present. And our present story is that we, Canada, we're the good guys who like human rights. And we don't want to implicate our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents who didn't care about Jewish lives. Because that is a very hard story to tell. And it also gives me, I have grace for them because our kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids are going to eviscerate us for our postures now too. Okay, how else do we do this? We retell the story of Jesus all the time. Here are some pictures of Jesus. We got white Jesus, meant to resonate with white people. We got black Jesus, meant to resonate with black people. Next slide. We got, like, on the left, we got Buddy Jesus from a satire movie called Dogma, which pokes fun of American evangelicalism. It's one of my favorite movies. In the middle there, we got Jesus looking like a child, looking like a Latin American refugee crossing a border, possibly the U.S. border, possibly the Emerson border. It's meant to, like, and then we have Jesus on the right holding a machine gun. I do not know why. That did not happen historically, but it is meant to tell a story to explain our present, currently, how some American Christians love Jesus and their guns. I do not understand this. None of these five pictures I showed are historically accurate, but we retell stories of the past to make sense of the present all the time. Why? Because we're trying to make a point. We're trying to tell a story that reflects our current reality. And in today's story about Isaac, the father of Israel, both literally and figuratively, what's the point? Awkward run-ins with neighbors, people, the potential for violence, people accumulating massive amounts of wealth, enough to fight over it and defend it. Fighting over resources, in this case water, which actually is super relevant on a warming planet for us today and in the future. As Isaac was moving his herds around, looking for water, looking for a new place to live, he would dig a well, and the locals would be like, "Go away, Isaac." He even named the first two wells contention and enmity. And I had to Google what enmity looks like, what that means. It's just like a noun for being hostile towards somebody. You have enmity, you're hostile. This story is not new. This is a story that we humans have lived over and over again for thousands of years. We fight for water, and we will again. We fight for oil, we fight for land, and we are still doing it. Here's how this looks in Canada in 2023. We're going to have some fun getting a little close to us here. Whose land are we on? And should our national anthem be, "O Canada, our home and native land"? Or should our national anthem be, "O Canada, our home on native land"? Those tell a story, don't they? Different stories. And one of them probably is a little more historically accurate than the other. But it has pretty massive implications, doesn't it? So what's the story we tell? Or we can talk about house prices. Anxiety spikes over housing costs amid Canada's plan to welcome 1.5 million new citizens by 2027. So this can also be phrased as, will I or my kids be able to buy a house? In Steinbeck, probably. Grunthal, yes. Toronto, never. It's actually the same question as our home on native land or our home and native land, because if we're guests on, if we're the newcomers, anyhow, it just gets really confusing, doesn't it? My final one, final example, 2023, in suburbia, in our neighborhoods, it echoes like this. Dandelions, the final frontier of potential conflict in suburbia. I don't like my neighbors because their dandelions spread into my yard and it ruins my property value. Or, I don't like my neighbors because they're using poison to kill all the food for the bees. Which side are you on? Don't raise your hands. I don't need any civil wars in our church this morning. The inclination for us to hate our neighbors, to fight our neighbors, to speak badly of our neighbors is never too far away, is it? It never is. My back ditch, I plant little native pollinators, and a couple doors down, they spray the whole ditch with par 3. But in this story, Isaac dug 2 wells, and then to avoid conflict, he kept moving on. And do you remember what the third well was named? Broad Place. The Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Wait, Isaac didn't fight for the first 2 wells? Nope. He didn't fight the Philistines. They're sworn enemies that hated each other so much that they literally made up stories and wrote the Philistines into their origin stories about how they're so evil. Yep, didn't fight them. Not only did Isaac not fight King Abimelech of the evil Philistines over water, but they actually ended up having a peace treaty, sharing meal together, and leaving as friends, is what the story says. Maybe sometimes conflict and disagreement doesn't need to result in violence because the people involved refuse to hurt each other. That sounds like such a good idea that we should probably write that story down so we can remember it, and so can our kids and grandkids, and for thousands of years later, they can remember this story. Look, when I say that we take Genesis seriously but not literally, there are generally 2 opposite reactions. Over here, I was like, yeah, Kyle, the Bible's irrelevant and full of myths that don't matter. Well, actually, I don't know. Writing down a story about walking away from conflict instead of fighting seems to me a pretty important story that's quite relevant to today. I mean, if all the Russian Orthodox Christians believed this story, would there be war in Ukraine? The head of the Russian Orthodox Church loves this war. And just so you know, we are a part of Mennonite Church Canada, which is part of Mennonite World Conference, which is part of the World Council of Churches. And we all wrote a letter saying, stop this war. And he promptly ignored it. Or the other side, though, is, oh, Kyle, you know, Bible-believing Christians just chucking out Genesis. I don't know. Who's that church in summer engaging with a biblical text that didn't actually happen because it believes there's power to the story? We could all be at home listening to a podcast or scrolling Instagram, but we're here. See, when we write these stories off, or when we write the people off who believe these stories, or don't believe the stories, or believe that they're not literally true, I think we risk losing so much goodness in the text, and the community, and the wisdom, and the wrestling, and the practice of being a Christian, because over coffee in the foyer, I'm sure you are all going to practice loving somebody who thinks differently about dandelions than you do. This is our place to practice this. Because this story can mean that we don't have to fight. And this story can mean that we can walk away from conflict. Sometimes being a peacemaker is exactly that we choose not to fight. Several years ago here at Grace, we had Dr. Lois Edmonds, a conflict resolution professor from the University of Winnipeg. She came to do some sessions on conflict resolution. And the one thing I remember her saying was this: sometimes conflicts cannot be resolved. We are allowed to walk away. We can lament the relationship that wasn't restored. We can still wish that person well. We can be open to future restoration and good times, but sometimes we can walk away, and that is not only okay, but sometimes it's even the right thing to do. It is worth mentioning here that this mostly applies to conflict where the two sides have about equal power and about 50% of the responsibility. My conflicts are never 50-50. It's like 90-10, the other person, all the time. Not true. But what this means, though, is that I don't get to go to Shara, for example, and steal her lunch. and eat her lunch in front of her. And then when she wants to address this conflict, I don't get to say, you know, I just don't want to fight, I'm walking away. Plus my mouth is full of your lunch, I can't talk right now. And we laugh because that's absurd, except when indigenous folks say they want a different future for their kids, and we have to address historical wrongs and systemic oppressions, those of us who have benefited cannot say, I'm walking away because I don't want to fight, plus my mouth is full of your lunch. That those on the margins must submit, that's a colonizer move, that's an abuser move. That's not what this story is about, because Isaac in this story had power and agency. But, if the person refusing to fight, if the person refusing to hate, if they have the bigger army, they have more status, if they have more wealth, if they have more power, if they have more time on their hands to make their yard perfectly manicured without dandelions because they retired early with a full pension, if the one who has the most power refuses to make a conflict worse, if they refuse to make enemies, then I think walking away is a radical countercultural move. Because if you know you'd win and crush your enemy, and yet you still choose peace, oh, that'll preach, even if Isaac and Abimelech never actually had supper together. Because choosing peace when you don't have to, choosing to walk away from conflict and from hurting your neighbor, that tells a story about what kind of God that you believe in. A story about a God who believes and acts that there is enough in this world for all so that we can all thrive and that we don't have to fight over it. That seems like a good story worth not only writing down, but also worth preaching about thousands of years later. Amen.
As we pray together, I will allow pauses for you to fill in your own prayers. Following each pause, you will hear me say, "In your mercy, God," after which I ask you to respond, "Hear our prayer." Lavish God, we come to you in prayer for this world that so desperately needs your peace. Guide each of us to make the difficult decisions required of a true peacemaker. In your mercy, God, we pray for peace of mind, spirit, and body for those we love. We think of Neil Clausen, who recovers from surgery at this time. In your mercy, God, we pray that any conflicts within our community will be resolved in healthy, life-giving ways. In your mercy, God, we pray that the divisions and animosity present in our nation will be eased, that people would listen well, think clearly, and speak with truth and kindness. In your mercy, God, we pray for those in places of violence, that you would calm their fears and shield them from harm. In your mercy, God, we pray for those with power, that they will work toward the justice that leads to peace. In your mercy, God, most holy God, bless our work toward your peace, and remind us of your promise that those who make peace are blessed. In your mercy, God. Amen. And then we'll move right into our offering prayer. God of peace, just as you have provided enough water for everyone in Gerar, we ask that you provide for people who need water today. As we give these offerings, we willingly release some of what we could claim as our own, so that we might help provide for our neighbors and be peacemakers in your world. Amen.
If you want to stand and turn to 597, My Lighthouse will be our sending song for the day.
Peace in my troubles.
Jesus says that you, dear makers of peace, are to be called the children of God. That you, dear makers of peace, are blessed. So go. Go to be the salt for the earth. Go to be the light for the world. Go to make peace and live into your blessing. Amen.